Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Losada, and today's birth story is with Jackie Brown Zucker, who lives in Israel and is a testament of how birth is not linear, how you can find your voice during labor, how care providers need to listen to the birthing person, and the importance of informing your intuition. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Expectful, an evidence-based guided meditation app created specifically for those trying to conceive, pregnant, or new moms. Reduce your stress, reduce your complications, and improve your connection to your baby and partner. Learn more and sign up for a free one-month trial at expectful.com/birthful. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Simply Breastfeeding, a prenatal breastfeeding course to help nursing parents feel confident with their newborns. Learn more at birthful.com/simply breastfeeding and use the code Birthful for 15% off. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be, and happy 2019. I hope you're feeling excited about this new year, and I do want to thank you, as always, for all the love you give the show. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing, and also tell your friends about it. Share the love. New year, share the love. To further support this podcast, support its sponsors, which in today's case are Expectful and Simply Breastfeeding. And if you're feeling like the holidays went by in a flash and baby will be here any minute and you're not quite ready for life with said baby, then let's fix that. Go to birthfulcourses.com to sign up for my Thrive With Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes. Let's get you postpartum ready. All right. So today's story is with Jackie Brown Zucker, who reached out all the way from Israel to share her story. And hearing stories from all over the world is always fascinating to me because there are so many subtle yet interesting differences on how things are done. But, you know, at the end, birth is birth and it does its own thing, regardless of the geography. Also, birthing people are powerful no matter where or how they give birth. So let's remember that. And if you happen to live outside of the U.S. and you're thinking, oh, you know, I'd love to share my story, but I'm out of the U.S., so probably, you know, Birthful is not going to be interested or Adriana is not going to be interested. I am interested. So send me a message. Send me a message at info@birthful.com and let's get your story on the air. All right. On that note, let's talk to Jackie and hear her story. And a quick heads up that we talked on over her cell phone, so it was a little spotty at times, but it's a good story, so bear with it. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we start digging into how you prepared and how pregnant you went and all that, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're like all the way out in Israel, I hear.
Yes. I came to live in Israel when I was 18, many, many years ago, almost 12 years ago. And I don't know how I ended up here, but I met my husband. He's actually Australian. We met in a kibbutz. And since then, we decided to just stay in the middle ground where we met. And we got married, and now we have a kid.
Yeah, you
so,
have
that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome, and you have a daughter, right? How old is she now?
Yes, almost 4 months. On the 19th, she'll be 4 months.
And she's gonna be much older when this recording comes out.
Probably.
Yeah. So. When you, like before the birth happened, when you found out you were pregnant and you started thinking about birth, what were your thoughts? What was your expectation? What was your knowledge about birth then?
Well, the first thing I thought is like, I'm freaking out. What's going to happen? What did I get myself into? I actually have to go through birth. And I had a switch in my mind from like, maybe like a childish kind of thought of like, yeah, kids are amazing, but I did not think through like that part between like getting pregnant, being pregnant, giving birth, and raising a child, obviously. I never really thought through it like when I was younger. So I went through that process in a very short period of time. And I thought to myself, okay, I need to get ready for this. I started listening to different podcasts and reading a lot about on blogs. And I got myself, okay, I think I can do this. And I would like to do actually like a natural birth. And I was very into like going into doing a water birth. I even considered getting a doula. But this was just like processing for me that happened really just like at the beginning of my pregnancy. So during my pregnancy, I didn't know what to expect. I was just like, okay, I'll just go day by day, situation by situation, and slowly, slowly, I went. I understood more about the subject, and I was like, okay, I found your podcast, and I started listening to women giving, telling their stories and how it went for them, and it really encouraged me, like, to say, okay, I can go for a natural birth. I can do this. It's what my body's meant to do, and just listen a lot to what my body's telling me in terms of like what should I eat, what should I if I should sleep more, if I should I don't know, go out and take some sun. Everything was really influencing my decisions, my intuition. Like I was really in tune with like what my body wanted and what the baby was asking from me, which was really crazy because I've never experienced such thing. But something inside you opens. So I really found that really fantastic.
I love that. I love that you, because you were saying, well, I was going with what my wishes, but you really like put that your mind a little bit on the back burner, it seems, and were just more connected with your body and your baby. And I love the even telling me when to go outside. Like, that level of awareness is so yummy to me. So you were really connected. Tell me some of the things that you read and you were listening to. You were listening to this podcast. Did you listen to other stuff? What were you reading? And how did you set up your birth team?
So I was listening first of all to a hypnobirthing course that helped me do like a lot of meditations and getting inside of myself, connecting with my baby and preparing also for birth. That I really took on to heart to like during my whole labor and birthing experience. It was very present with me at the time. Plus, I was also listening to a podcast from Parenting Magazine and to your podcast, and I can't remember what's the name of the other podcast. But it helped a lot to understand which stages I was in and what was happening with the development of the baby and knowing which type of foods that I should eat. So I was eating a lot of things for like the development of the brain and of the motor skills and neurotransmitter prototype foods that would help the baby grow and flourish as it went the course of the pregnancy. So that really was the part of like the things that I read that really resonated with me. And also trying to like at the time of the actual labor to try to do breathing exercises and the meditations and control the pain as much as possible with breathing, which later on had to transition into something else. But all those different materials helped me go through this process.
Cool. Did you end up getting a doula?
Actually, I didn't. I didn't want to get a doula because my husband convinced me that he could be my doula. I don't know how. He just said, "No, we can do it together. It's gonna be fine." And one of my cousins, she actually studied to be a doula. And she just mentioned it like as a back burner kind of thing. And I said to her if she maybe would like to be my doula, but like it ended up just like being some idea in the back of my head that never really, you know, we never said like, okay, you're going to be my doula, we're going to be doing this. Nothing like that. But at the actual time of the birth, or well, when the labor started, I actually called her and I was like, hey, listen, I think I'm going right now into labor. I was in the bathroom just having a shower, and suddenly I just saw this like thing that looked some type of like blood cloth, but it was part of, you know, the beginning of the plug.
Yeah, the mucus
out.
Plug. Yeah, so kind of like
mucus-y. Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's just like a little bit of that, which might sound a little bit gross, but that's what came out, and I started having contractions, and this was almost 2 days before I gave birth. So, yeah, I just said to myself, okay, I need to keep calm and just sleep it off. And after like 2 hours, I couldn't sleep it off anymore. And I was like, okay, maybe it's time to go and check what's going on. But before I went to the hospital or anything, I called, you can call on the phone, you know, a nurse, and they tell you like if you should go or not go to check it. And they told me it's worth going to just get it checked. And by the time I went to get it checked, after 4 hours of being in the emergency room, they told me, yes, you started labor, but it's very little, it's just like 1 centimeter, go back home and sleep. So I was like that for 24 hours until those small contractions started to happen like quicker and quicker.
Yeah, quicker and quicker, and possibly more intense and longer. Let's take a quick break, also quicker. Let's take a quick break. But when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what those contractions were like, what you were feeling. We'll be right back. Great news, mighty ones. Birthful listeners can get a whole month free trial at expectful.com, which is 2 more weeks of free meditation than their usual 2-week trial. If you've been meaning to try meditation, this is the perfect time to jump on this offer. Meditating is a great way to reset your nervous system and mindfully bring yourself back to calm. And this is really important because if your nervous system spends more time in high alert and doesn't get to go back to baseline often, then your body is in constant state of stress, which is not healthy. Meditating is a super easy way to make sure you break up those stress signals. The best part is that you don't have to sit for long hours to see the benefits. If you have 5 minutes, then you have time to meditate. And it becomes even easier when you use a meditation app like Expectful. I have tried other meditation apps, and I really like how the Expectful one is designed to address your pregnant or new parent needs by focusing on whatever you need at that moment. Whether it's better sleep, connection with baby and partner, embracing your identity, lessening stress, dealing with uncertainty, Expectful makes it super easy for you. And I gotta say, I really enjoy the voice of the person who reads the meditations. Go to expectful.com/birthful to sign up for a free 4-week trial and check it out for yourself. Yep, that's a free full month to try it out. And don't forget to add the /birthful so you can get that free full month. So that's expectful.com/birthful. And we're back. So, Jackie, when you went into the hospital, were you feeling that these contractions, were they more crampy, or were they something that you had to stop for? Like, how intense were they?
They were not that intense. They were like you say, like crampy, like almost like, you know, like when you have your period, you have a bit of cramps. They were a little bit stronger than that, but they were really manageable. I could breathe through them and just be like, okay, after a minute or less than a minute, go away. Mm-hmm. It was just a few seconds, and that was it. Every hour and a half, sometimes every half an hour. So it was okay. I knew I could manage at that point, like having a little bit of that. And I said, okay, you know, I'm going home. And they said to me, it can take a week that you're going to be with this type of contractions. And I was like, what? Seriously? This is crazy. But I was like, okay, I'll take it like day by day, or hour by hour, most accurately. So at the beginning, well, I mean, when I went back home, I was okay, I'm gonna go to sleep, or try to go to sleep. And I would wake up every hour with a contraction, and slowly, slowly, the contractions became stronger. By my husband, in the meantime, he decided that he wanted to go to work. That he was like, no, this is not going to happen today. It might happen, at the end of the week. So I'm going to work. So he went on his regular work day after not sleeping a whole night. And on the way back, when he came from work, I told him I haven't really slept that much, just like an hour, and then I would wake up. And it's really a broken sleep. I couldn't really rest. And he said, "Oh, I need to sleep. I have to catch on my sleep." So he went to sleep straight away after work. And I got a call from a friend from Panama that she was visiting and that she wanted to see me. And I was like, okay, I have not told her even that I'm pregnant, because I haven't seen her in years. But I'll just show her, and we'll see. She was literally staying
Surprise!
across the street. Across the street from my house. So that was easy for me to just walk down the street and cross the street. And she's like, wow, I didn't know you were pregnant. And you're in contractions. You're in labor. So it was kind of funny that that's the way that I saw her after almost 10 years that I hadn't seen her. But after seeing her and everything, I went back home, and the contractions became closer and closer. They went from something like tw every 20 minutes to every 10 minutes to every 3 minutes, five to 3 minutes. And I wasn't sure if it was like the right time to go, because they were not every single contraction every 3 minutes. It was like five, three, five, seven, like different numbers. So I was like, no, I need to wait until it's like every, like clockwise. I don't want to go again to the hospital just because. And during that night, I was speaking with my mother, and she lives abroad. And she happened by chance to be in my aunt's house. And my aunt has a how you call it? She has a medical staff in her house taking care of my uncle. So
No,
he
like a
overheard the
nurse. Yeah.
conversation that I had with them. Yeah, like a nurse. He overheard my conversation with my mom, saying to her that I was with contractions of like 3 and 7, and that I wasn't sure if I should go to the hospital yet. And he's like, no, go now to the hospital. If you wait a little bit longer, you won't be able to reach the hospital. And I was like, okay. That got me a little bit in, like, to okay, maybe I should wake up my husband and go to the hospital. So that's exactly what I did. And he was like, no, I'm sure that this is just another, like, we're gonna be in the hospital and they're gonna tell you to go back home, so just relax. And I'm like, no, but it's faster and faster and it's hurting more. So he said, fine, we're going to the hospital. So this
So,
time, yeah.
Jackie, so this had been about 24 hours since you were in the shower and lost your mucus plug, right?
A bit more than 24 hours, like 26 hours, yeah.
Yeah, and what time of the day was this happening?
The first, when I lost my mucus plug, was like 10 p.m. And when this was happening, the day after was also like around, maybe like around 11 p.m.,
Okay.
12 p.m. And we got to the hospital around 1 in the morning. And they were doing the regular checkups and just checking that the baby was okay. And then they checked my aperture. And the thing, just like a curious fact about Israeli hospitals, it's not like in the US that you have your doctor and you're going into the hospital saying, okay, he's going to birth my child or something like this. No, they have midwives there. and they're on rotation, so you don't know who's going to actually like birth your child. There's actually famous shows of birthing, which apparently I got one of those famous midwives to birth my baby. But yeah, it was it's just like something very different that you're not going somewhere that you know the person that's going to be there with you and birth your kid, or you don't know the nurses. Everyone's on a rotation, and whoever you got is like lucky you.
Had you met this person before during prenatals? Do you rotate with the same midwives? Have you met any of them, or was it just completely a new person?
Well, before the whole like birthing, like 2 months before, we went to the hospital and we had a birthing course. And in the birthing course, we met a few of the rotational people that were there. But obviously, a lot of them are like actually, with people in the hospital and women giving birth. So it's a kind of like you say hello and bye very, very lightly. In other events that they do outside of the hospital, you actually get to meet them. And in one of this events, I actually got to meet like six of the people that were in the staff, which none of them were actually in my birth, but the people the whole staff of that hospital is very, very professional, and they were all very nice, and I have no complaints with them. It's just like, I wanted to point out that's just like very different from like what you would get in another country, and it still works very well.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you told us because there's so many ways of giving birth and different structures and different, so it's good to hear, or it's nice to hear about a different setup. So
Yeah.
you were just going into the hospital for the second time and you got checked. Do you remember how far you were?
I was 2.5 centimeters opening, and also another like side note, they do have a natural birthing center inside the hospital, which you're allowed to do water birth. And the advantage, I mean, this is pretty much why I wanted to go there, because they had the option to do water birth and also have like the medical staff surrounding in case there was an emergency or something unexpected that I was not able to, contage like in my house, for example, or who knows what. So that was actually very, very good for me, like to know that there was professionals behind. But at this point, when I was in the hospital for the second time, they told me, listen, we cannot give you a room yet to give birth, but you're on the way. So go and have a shower. And that's what I did. I went to have a shower for like an hour and something, and got the opening to be like 3.5. And they said, okay, now you can go to a room for the meantime until you're 5 centimeters opening. You cannot go to the natural birthing room. So hold on here. You have a nice room. You can, relax, put your things on the side, and you're already started with labor like properly. And I was like, okay, it's still not active labor, but I'm inside the room.
Yeah, how are you feeling with your progress and where you were at the moment? Like what was going through your mind?
Well, I was very tired, but I was in a good headspace. I was like, okay, I can do this. I was doing the breathing exercises and breathing in very, very slowly and breathing out even slower. And it got me through all those stages until I got to like 5 centimeter opening, in which at that point, I was just like thinking to myself, okay, maybe we're like moving a bit further. Like, I felt like the pain was getting much stronger at that point. And for me, it was already a little bit hard to just breathe through each contraction. My husband was doing like pressure points on the back and helping me doing a massage in the back. I don't know if you know what the TENS machine is.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Do they have them there at the hospital for you, or did you have your own?
I had my own, like I rented one. But I think they do have them in the hospital if you want.
And
I
can
just
you?
had it because I didn't want to rely and maybe they have it, maybe not.
Yeah. Can you describe what it is and what how it helps?
Well, the TENS machine pretty much runs a few impulses of electricity through these sensors, and you stick them to the back of your back. So practically, I had four of those in my lower back, and it was helping me a lot. Because at that point, I couldn't just do breathing by itself. It was just too much. So I was helping myself with the TENS a little bit. And at one point, I got stuck. I was like at 5 centimeters, 5.1 centimeters, something like this. And it had been already like 2, 3 hours, or I don't even know how many hours. Just felt like an eternity at that point. In which I called again my cousin and I said to her, "Is there any chance you can just come?" And she said, "Yeah, let me check, 'cause she had a work day and everything. It's not like her regular, oh yeah, I was prepared for this, I'm coming," or something like that. She literally put all her day to the side. I don't know what she had that day to do. But she put it on the side and she called me 2 seconds later saying, like, "Yeah, I canceled everything for the day. I'm coming. The GPS says I'll be there in 1 hour and 40 minutes." And I was like, "All right, I'm here." So, in the meantime, obviously we're trying to get the pregnancy, the labor, going. So I went into the shower again, and the nurses were trying to assist my husband and myself, giving us certain positions, and also giving us a physio ball to do a few exercises so the pain would go down. At this point, my husband couldn't like hold himself up anymore. He was like falling asleep. He was so tired. And I was almost like losing hope. Like seriously, I was like about to, okay, if this really doesn't progress in the next like hour or so, I was considering already like, okay, they hinted it to me that I should take the epidural, and I said to myself, okay, maybe the epidural might help. I'm open to it. I'm open to like changing paths if this is how it's supposed to go. And they had just after that hour, they just checked my opening, and I was maybe half a centimeter more open. And I just said to myself, "Oh my God, this is really crazy. I don't know if I'm gonna go for the epidural or not," but I was really on that decision-making point of like, maybe it's the best for me, and I really don't want to do it, but I should. But my cousin came exactly at that point, and she said to me, "Listen, why don't we just try? Go into the shower. I'll put the physio ball inside the shower," which was amazing. I didn't do it before, and I don't know why. It was a great idea. And she was putting hot water on my back, and we changed from breathing exercises, which was what I knew and what I was trying to do this whole time, plus the TENS machine, to doing hot water in the physio ball, like on it, and changing instead of breathing, doing more of a sound, whatever came out, like if it was like ah. we would go and she would just repeat after me and my husband too. It was kind of like funny, and it got me into a meditation, which I never thought would happen, but it got me into this really great meditation, which helped with the pain. And by the time I was out of the shower, they checked me again, and I was already at 8.5. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I'm like, why didn't I do this since the beginning?
I'm so good. I love it. I love it that it like suddenly progressed. And like, it speaks to that thing that birth is not linear and it just moves at its own pace. And you just have to go with your body. And I love how you said just vocalizing in whatever sound came out, like letting your body also dictate what it needed to the sounds it needed to make.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a funny orchestra, let's just put it like that. I'm sure if like anyone came by the room and heard that, they were like, oh my god, what are they doing in there?
Jackie, do you remember more or less around what time this was?
This was more or less maybe like 2 hours before I gave birth, like around 12, 1 p.m.
Okay. And before you continue, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to see what happened in those last 2 hours. Breastfeeding, it may be natural, but that sure does not mean it's easy. It's a learning process for both you and baby, and like most learning processes, it takes a lot of trial and error. However, this trial and error can sometimes come with a lot of crying, and not necessarily only from your baby. Help lessen the crying and frustration by arming yourself with some solid knowledge. A great way to prepare for this is by taking the Simply Breastfeeding online class created by breastfeeding experts Cindy and Jana. In their class, you'll learn to recognize what your baby is telling you and how to meet your baby's needs starting in the very first hour after birth. You'll also understand the basics of breastfeeding and be able to return to them if you encounter difficulties, and you'll feel confident knowing the answers to most frequently asked questions. Lessen your anxiety and frustration and relax knowing you've got this. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding to learn more. And as a Birthful listener, you get 15% off if you use the code Birthful when you register. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding or click the link on the show notes to get you on your way. And we're back talking with Jackie about her birth story. And so you went from breathing and using the TENS machine to being in the shower with the birth ball and getting hot water on your back and vocalizing, and then you'd progress to 8 centimeters. What happened next?
Yeah. Well, somewhere in between that time that I was a little bit stuck in 5 centimeters, 5.5 centimeters, I forgot to tell you that one of the nurses came in and told me, when I was agonizing with pain, told me, listen, we found out that you meet all the requirements to go to the natural birthing room, but one, your BMI is a little bit higher than what it should be by like 5. And I was like, okay, listen, I don't have time to argue with you right now. So I just said, okay. And I had to give up the idea of even birthing in water because of this little fact. So by the time I was 8.5 centimeters, I was just like, I'm so happy. I'm not like complaining about changing paths of like just giving birth, you know, not in water. But that idea I had to also like take out of the equation when this whole like, you know, I was in agony time happened, and until like I was in a point where I was like, okay, I know this is like much better, it's coming out. As soon as I got the checkup of the 8.5, I said to the nurse, I cannot do any more of the monitor. They had a monitor on my stomach, you know, like the baby monitor, and they gave me one that's like waterproof. so I could be there in the water, but it was so tightening, and it was bothering me at to a certain point. I wanted to just like grab it and throw it in the floor and like smash it and break it into pieces. It was really, really crazy, how it bothered me, and I don't know why, but that's something I remember very clearly. And I said to her, "Listen, I need to go back in the water, but I'm taking off this monitor. I can't do with the monitor anymore." And she's like, "No, a little longer, a little longer." I just took it off. I couldn't take it anymore. I went into the shower and I said to her, "I feel her going down." Like the whole birthing changed to the point that I was actually feeling her like going down the canal. Like it was not anymore opening. I felt like a different vibe. Like it was different. I don't know how to explain it. It was just different. And she's like, "How can it be? You're just 8 and a half. I just checked you." And she said, "Come outside, I'll check you again." And I didn't want to be checked. I said, "No, give me a little time." And I was there for maybe 20 minutes, not even that. And she said, "No, come out, come out. I want to check." And she checked me and she's like, "Okay, you're at 9. You're almost there. Don't worry." I'm like, "No, she's coming out." Like she was actually like coming down towards Earth. And 2 seconds later that she checked me, like, and I told her that no, I'm feeling her coming down, down. I remember that in the hypnobirthing course, there's a change between breathing that when you feel this like contraction that feels almost like if you want to go to the bathroom to do number two, you just have to breathe and open and not close. Like, so I was trying to do this very, very deep breathings towards my uterus at that point. I said, "No, she's coming out, she's coming out." And she was sure that she was not coming out yet. She was like, "No, she still has some time. You're just at 9." I'm like, "How can I change from 8 and a half to 9 so quickly if she's not coming down?" But I mean, the baby knows better.
Well, and
She was
you're
actually coming
feeling it.
out.
It's happening in your body, right? Like the nurse is not in your
Yeah,
body. You're like, "Listen, woman."
exactly. I'm like, "No, she's coming down." So finally, she felt the head, and she's like, "Yeah, I can feel her crowning. I know she's there now," because she asked me to sit on the bed to just check me. I couldn't move. I was in such pain that I could only breathe and do noises and just focus in the baby. I couldn't focus on anything else. And after, I think it was something like 20 something minutes, because my husband decided that, okay, she's coming. I'm turning on the camera. So he actually turned on the camera, and you can only hear me screaming, but there were good screams. I don't know how to explain it. It was not screamings of like pain, pain. It was just like screamings of like, "I know you're coming, just get out already."
Like the super intensity. Yeah. Those noises can be
Yeah,
really. Yeah.
the intensity went up very, very quickly at that point. I actually put my hand down and I felt her head, and I was like, "Okay, she's coming. I just need to keep on breathing." And the midwife was a guy, and he asked me if I wanted to do this quickly or if I wanted to take another few more hours. And I said, "Let's do it quickly, but not too quickly. I don't want to rush it." So he told me to just hold my legs up and focus in pushing down, but I didn't want to push like with force, just with breathing. And 20 something minutes later, she was out and about. So, yeah. It was a great experience. The second she was out, the whole pain that I was managing at that point suddenly poof, disappear like magic. And I had her on my chest. So yeah, that was really a life-changing experience.
Oh, for sure.
You
for
don't know
sure.
how yeah you don't know how much power you have until you do something like that.
Yeah, and it so I mean, and it took from when you lost your mucus plug to then, it was like you're at 2 days,
hours.
3 days. How many?
41 hours.
But it was from the time your cousin arrived until she was born. How long was that?
She got there something like. I cannot pinpoint it, but maybe like 9, 10 a.m. and she was born like around 3 p.m.
Yeah.
So in that time, like the whole pregnancy just took a turn. I really thought like, okay, I want to do natural and no epidural and just in water and everything just changed at that point. So I think I actually changed for the better because, I mean, I'm not like obsessed with doing a water birth anymore, but I'm not against it either. I would like to try a second time to see. I think I know my body now a little bit better to be able to know like when and where and how. But again, pregnancy is kind of a territory that you have to explore like with an open mind.
Absolutely. And it's so neat to hear you talk about how connected you were with the sensations and really how that sense and focus of how you had to go deep overtook everything else, so that you were like, you know what, I'm not using these monitors anymore, and I'm just getting in the water, and she's coming out, and she's listened to me because she is coming out.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, how was did you breastfeed? How was breastfeeding? So you met her. She's on your chest. Did she start showing signs? How did that start?
Well, I put her on my chest. I mean, they kind of like cleaned her a little bit, and I think they waited her in the same room, and then they put her on my chest. Or maybe they waited her later. No, I think they waited her later. They just put her on my chest like quickly after just cleaning her. And I had her skin to skin for maybe 20, 30 minutes while the whole staff were like cleaning the room and, you know, arranging things. And by the time those 20, 30 minutes passed, she just went for it. Started like sucking on my boob, and then I said, okay, 5, 10 minutes, I calculated, then I did the other one. And I thought to myself, there's no chance in the world that I have milk or that she actually sucked something that was milk or anything resembling that, because it didn't feel like I had anything. So I told one of the nurses, like, I don't know, you know, she asked me if she fed something, and I was like, well, she tried. I don't know if she actually did, but she's like, okay, let me check. Can I just touch you and see like if you have? I'm like, okay, sure. And she squeezed me really hard, and I got some colostrum. So apparently I did have something, and she did eat something. And since then, she's just been breastfeeding. The first day, I think it was okay. I didn't have milk yet, so we slept that night. I think we slept through like 6, 7 hours straight, because the three of us were exhausted. 41 hours of labor is too much, I think, for anyone. But the next night, the night afterwards, since like 8 p.m. until 4 in the morning, she was feeding every 10 minutes. She would like eat for, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes, fall asleep 10 minutes, and then she would wake up again and be like, okay, I want more. And she would try and feed for like 10, 20 minutes in each boob, and then again and fall asleep, and then wake up 10 minutes later. I couldn't sleep the whole night. It was a very hard night for me, but like around 4 in the morning, suddenly I got milk, and she slept for a good like 4 hours straight, which is weird at that age to sleep so much. But after that, like every time she fed, she would go to sleep and for an hour or 2 hours. And today, I mean, she sleeps in a bad night, like 4 hours, wakes up and eats, and then sleeps another 4 or 5 hours. In a good night, she can sleep 8 hours straight.
It's so
So.
interesting how they evolve and change, and the communication that happens between the baby and your body in terms of making that milk production. I mean, that time that she was like eating nonstop from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., she's like, bring in the milk, bring in the milk, bring in the milk. And then the milk came in, and then she's all good. Her job was done. Jackie, did
She
you?
tends to do that every few weeks.
Right, they do, because that's the growth spurts. Like the first one is around birth, right? And then around 7 to 10 days, and 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 9 weeks, or 3 months, 6 months. Like it just keeps happening as they want their bodies grow, their stomachs grow, and they need more milk. It's so cool. Jackie, did you tear? How was the delivery of the placenta?
Okay, I did tear, but it was something like I think one, like very little. They did a few stitches and that was it. And the placenta, I just let her take all the nutrients from the placenta until it was finished. And afterwards, the tear, I mean, taking care of it and everything was not hard, and it was a little bit painful afterwards. But I think after something like a month and a half, or 2 months, it was good. Like I did not feel anything at all.
Great. Very cool.
Yeah.
So looking back on your story, what was the most surprising part of it all?
Well, the support I got from my husband was definitely, I mean, I expected obviously that he would be there, but you know, I didn't expect how much he would be there for me. It was really, really surprising. And also my cousin, that she was practically my doula through the process. Even though she came like after we already started. But it was definitely something that was very surprising and very, very happy to just have them there with me. It really made the difference for me.
And it seems like the doula, your cousin, the doula, got there just like right when you needed her, even if she wasn't there earlier.
Yeah, I mean, she was on the phone, but she's always been supportive, but like this time was like super. I think she actually is considering about doing this like professionally, not just you know, because she did a course, but she never actually did a birth. So now she has a birth on her belt.
And what a beautiful birth indeed she has under her belt, 'cause it sounds like, it was what labor is. It's work, it's labor, not called vacation, it's called labor, but you did it. What would you want the listeners to know before we wrap up? Anything else that you want to make sure we get to?
Well, I think every person has their own experience through birth, and that they should, I mean, a pregnant woman today that's like, okay, what should I expect? This is my first time. I don't know what to go for. To go with an open mind, first of all. It's very important to accept changes during pregnancy because you don't know what's going to happen, if it's you're going to get an unexpected twist. But definitely to trust your instincts, you know, trust yourself, trust what your body's telling you, and listen to it, listen to yourself. For me personally, like the hypnobirthing helped me a lot. Also, listening to professionals like the ones that you bring to your podcast always helped me to like know certain things. I was like, okay, I'm not going to judge this like the doctor said. I'm gonna build my own opinion according to this and this parameters. So you know, trust what you have to say about the whole situation. I think that's what everyone should take from this.
Love it. So good. Thank you so, so much for being on the show today and wanting to share your story and yeah, keep enjoying that baby girl. Yes.
I will.
Mighty ones, find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me, the show, Patreon member benefits, send me messages, and more. I'm also on Facebook or Twitter as @birthful, so come say hi. And if you're in the last months of pregnancy and feeling some anxiety about what life with a newborn is going to be like, then go register for my Thrive With Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes at birthfulcourses.com, so you can get postpartum ready and feel way more confident and even enjoy those first few weeks with your baby. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, the Birthful Patreon supporters, and by the wonderful people at Simply Breastfeeding and Expectful. Go to expectful.com/birthful to get a free full month trial, and go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code birthful for 15% off their breastfeeding course. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin McLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful Podcast is part of the Parents on Demand Network, a network of podcasts for parents and families. Download the free Parents on Demand app on Apple and Android for easy on-the-go listening. I'm Adriana Losada. Please join me next week when I'll be talking to another maternity pro to inform your intuition here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening.